everybody. Welcome to the Sports Doctor, live from stormy Chicago. Sorry for the late start. Had some technical difficulties. So we're going to start all over again. Again, the Sports Doctor, everything sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. I want to congratulate all our physical therapy friends. October is National Physical Therapist Month. Again, there seems to be a physical therapy clinic on every block. We really think they do a fantastic job. The book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, continues to get so much great feedback. Positive Hooplots on Amazon. I just did a guest appearance Monday morning on Diane Jones, KLBW in St. Louis, where we spent a half hour talking about the show, and you can see all sorts of information. Go to hashtag Hey Sports Parents. So we've got a great doubleheader today. We're going to start off with Lori Lassiter. She's a multiple marathoner, personal trainer, running coach, and she'll be joining us. She's also the owner of L2 Performance Training. She's going to be returning guest, and then one of BBS's hosts, Karen Cataline. She hosts Spouting Off with BBS Radio, but she's also the author of Fat Flesh, Food Police and Fear of Thin. Quite a story. Then it's the Sports Doctor's in and your emails, but let's jump right out. Let's Lori Lassiter, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you very much for having me back on the show.
Great to have you back. Give us a little bit of fill-out background, Lori, of your running career and your initiation into running, coaching, and performance training.
Sure. Well, I've been running for about 45 years, and most of that time I was working as an engineering executive, so it was a good way to relieve stress. And I ran quite a number of marathons and had quite a number of injuries. And so I became interested in how to prevent injury and how to help other people prevent injury. So when I retired from engineering, I decided to become a personal trainer and a running coach. And that's what I'm doing now. I continue to run marathons, but I have L2 Performance Training, which is my personal training company, and then I also do a lot of training at Edward Elmhurst Health and Fitness in Woodridge, Illinois.
Yes, Edward Health and Fitness, where I've been doing foot screenings since they first built the place, like 15 years ago, once a month. We might watch somebody walk, might watch them run, talk about shoes, talk about their foot mechanics. As an engineer, you would absolutely appreciate the fact that the foundation of the body, you know, Dr. Bob here is a sports podiatrist, make a very, very big deal about singing the song that the foot bones attached to the ankle bones, attached to the knee bones and the backbone. What's interesting, Lori, is the fact, you know, years ago, runners never did strength training. You couldn't talk them into it. Now it's become a real big deal.
Right, although it is still hard to talk some of them into it.
Yes. Well, we used to see runners. My famous therapist friend, Bob Guider, the kinesiotherapist trainer of champions, used to talk to me all the time. He says, I'm looking at these runners. They're all hunched over. They're all way overdeveloped with their running muscles. They don't develop the rest of the body, and it became a very, very big deal to strengthen the whole individual in order to stay out of trouble. Still today, 50% of runners deal with some overuse problem of the foot or lower extremity, whether it's shin splints, whether it's runner's knee, whether it's foot problems. So it's great to have the input of a running coach. How many marathons have you run, Lori?
I've run 31 marathons, including all the world marathon majors, and I've run Boston 3 times.
Wow. I mean, that's really quite an accomplishment where we start to see again, not only, and again, the excitement is still here in Chicago. The Chicago Marathon, all 45,000 runners, was just a couple of days ago. It's just amazing to see faster and faster and more competitive. It really is exciting. And of course, the Boston Marathon has been around how many years? Who knows?
Over 100.
Over 100 years. Talk about some of the ages that you deal with the running population and your coaching.
I have a number of runners that are in their teens and even preteen years running at school, and it goes all the way up to runners who are still active running in their 60s and 70s. I have a runner who is in his 70s that completed his first half marathon last year. So some pretty exciting stuff.
Yes, the great Dick Pond shoes, for example. My daughter and his daughter grew up, the late Dick Pond, America's first running shoe store, for the most part. And when I would do screenings there, I would see people who were the great Killer Kowalski, old patient of mine from the late 70s. I think he ran 15,000 miles in my orthotic, but the man was still competing in his middle 70s. It's pretty extraordinary. And the, again, safety of some of our youngsters, because the fact is that running does have its share of overuse injuries. Many times we don't see traumatic injuries like somebody blew a knee out because they got tackled. We see overuse injuries because of the repetitive motion of hitting the same way and the same consistency in that regard. And I know that you do a lot of different programs. Talk about your L2 performance training.
Yeah, well, that's my training company, and I work with runners on strength training because you mentioned all the different ages. It's important for young people to strength train because a lot of times they have imbalances just because they haven't done any training. And then as people get older, to avoid injury, it's imperative that they strength train because the body will lose muscle if you don't fight against that with regular strength training.
Yes, and it's amazing, again, how it's become popular. What's the website,
right,
Lori, of L2 Performance Training?
Well, it's pretty easy. It's www.l2performancetraining.com.
Right. Keep it simple, salesman. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Got a little bit of a late start today because of some technical difficulties, but we are back on track. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows and go back over 10 years. Matter of fact, maybe you can go back 30 years when we were doing Reel to Reel at College DuPage, WDCB. You can zip over to newspaper articles, magazine articles. I just had a feature guest editorial in Lower Extremity Review, which is a magazine that goes out internationally to all the physical therapists, chiropractors, podiatrists. So you can get your fill of so many different articles, including one of my most notorious articles, which is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. When we're talking about straightening the foot ankle, you could follow us on Twitter. Again, that's why we titled the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, or you can go to @SportsDoc, DOC Radio. We have over 30,000 followers. We have great sports medicine, nutrition, other training information routinely, besides information on who's on the radio, who's coming on the radio, talking with running coach Lori Lassiter. Again, you know, one of the reasons that we wrote the book, Lori, is, you know, the pressure on these young kids to perform earlier and earlier, whether it's coaches' pressure, whether it's peer pressure, whether it's parent particular pressure. And, you know, running is no different, where we might see 12, 13-year-olds who are already running every day, running sometimes 5, 10 miles a day. And overkill is such a big problem. I always ask coaches like you who work with individuals how your sports psychology skills are going.
Well, I agree with a number of other coaches in other fields and in other sports that early specialization is usually a road to injury and overuse. And I really encourage people to diversify in sports, especially at the younger ages, and do a number of different things to develop different skills and different strengths and to really develop the body before you start to specialize and really beat up on, you know, a very limited aspect of the body.
There's no doubt about it, but one of the chapters in my section of the book is called The Prodigy Sports. You know, I've been putting orthotics in figure skaters for 4 decades, give or take a few weeks. Evan Lysacek, who grew up in our area, the Chicago area, 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, was 10 years old when I put orthotics in the skates. And these kids, think of it, gymnastics, tennis, soccer, figure skating, ballet, where you could tell these kids all day long you'd like them to do other sports, but this is their love, this is what they do, and it's become a
right.
real challenge, you know, with specializing so early, even though, you know, the Gold Cup women's soccer champions, 80% of these ladies played multiple sports. So it's terrific,
right.
good advice, even though it's a tough sell when we're talking about, again, what I label as the prodigy sport. What are some of the things in strength training for runners, again, that you pay attention to? It seems like the core is always such a big deal, low back, hips. What are some of the different exercises that you pay big attention to?
Right. Well, like you said, the core is one of the key areas, and most of my focus there is on anti-movement exercises, things like planks and side planks and anti-rotation work, just to make sure the person knows how to stabilize their core against forces that are trying to destabilize it. And then I would say a close second is hip stability, specifically your ability to stabilize on one foot, because running is really jumping from one foot to the other, so you better be stable on a single foot, or you're going to have a lot of trouble with injuries as a runner.
It's always been one of my favorite, again, Bob guided tests, whether you were the best athlete in the world or a young kid, which was, let's see you balance on one foot, let's watch you do a partial squat, let's see how your stability.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why we gave to Edwards Health and Fitness, one of the sand dune steppers, why we like so much these balance exercises. In the book, we talk about two essential exercises for all athletes at all ages, and one is stability work, balance work, standing on mini trams, tilt boards, BOSU, and strengthening of the feet and ankles with rubber bands. How much running do you do now routinely yourself?
Probably about 35 miles a week.
That seems
but
to be the amount that people can tolerate
week.
Quite well.
Yeah, well, I spend about 4 hours a week strength training, so that's the key.
Do you do any 5 or 10K races?
I don't do a lot of racing really anymore, especially short distance racing. You know, I do some marathons occasionally, but even that, I don't routinely do a lot of racing. I enjoy the training more than the racing, to be honest with you.
Where are some of these? You mentioned you've run in some of the world marathon. What are some of the world marathon events?
Oh, okay. Well, there are 6 world marathon majors, 3 in the U.S. and 3 overseas. We have Chicago, Boston, New York, Tokyo, London, and Berlin.
Wow. You would have loved my guest last summer, Makita, who 2 summers ago ran across Europe 3,600 miles.
Oh, wow.
Doing 2 marathons a day for the cause of obesity, and he made it. And he did it successfully. I thought it was humanly impossible as we watched some of these ultra races and ultra marathons. So the 6 majors, it sounds like the tennis and the golf world almost, with the majors.
Yeah. So they started the World Marathon maybe about 10 years ago, and I think about 4,000 people have completed all 6 races. So
wow, and you're one of
them. A pretty small group. I am.
What's your best time in a marathon? Just curious.
3:49.
Wow. You know, that's like already one out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds as we see. You know, a lot of the hoopla is we'll ever see a two-hour marathon, maybe in the next lifetime, as we see science get better. I think
yeah,
it's
they
a
got
world
close
record.
At Berlin this year.
Yes, wasn't it like 2 hours and 1 minute? It's really extraordinary when we take a look at against some of these particular barriers. How long have you done personal training over at Edwards Health and Fitness in Westmont,
about 5
Illinois?
Years.
Yeah, they are really one of the one of the leading facilities, Edwards Health and Fitness in Naperville. I remember when they first opened the first one in Naperville, Illinois, a lot of the doctor population said, you know, what, a fitness center? What's that? You know, now it's one of many, many hospitals that really have made such a big commitment to wellness and fitness and good health, which is something that I think our country is finally catching up with instead of having our programs of sick care, it seems.
Yeah, it really is a wonderful facility. When I was working in engineering, I used to drive by it, and I would think to myself, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to do training there. So fortunately for me, that worked out.
Yes, and having a hospital behind the fitness world, that kind of expertise, all the different specialties that could be added and included, whether it's the world of nutrition and dietitians, whether it's the heart rehab program, all of these different types of programs, that can really work in to the situation involving, again, health and wellness in that regard. Do you have any involvement with any of the schools, high schools, some of the even junior high schools and some of their different running programs?
Not on an ongoing basis. I've done some work with a soccer team, a local soccer team, with helping them get strength and agility training, and I've done some work with Girls on the Run, which is a program helping girls get involved at junior high and high school ages, getting involved with running.
Great idea. Again, the Lori Lassiter, the owner, L2 Performance Training. Lori, quickly, give me the website again.
www.performancetraining.com.
Okay, Lori, hold on a quick second. Everybody, we're going to be right back. Thanks. It's the Sports Doctor. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, welcome back live from stormy Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, I'm apologizing, everybody. We had a little bit of a technical snafu in the beginning. We're running a few minutes late, but we're joined by someone who knows that story because she's also a radio host with BBS Radio. We have Karen Cataline on the show. Karen is the host of Spouting Off, CBS Radio. But what we're going to talk to her about is this excellent book, Fat Flash, Food Police, Fear of Thin. Everybody knows who's listened to The Sports Doctor, who's read my book, hashtag A Sports Parent, what a big deal we pay to these kinds of challenges. Karen, welcome to The Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bob. It's great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Give us a little bit of quickie background of you why you wrote the book and how that's factored in to your life.
I would be glad to. Well, I have a pretty checkered past. My first career was as a musical comedy performer, and I did make my living as a musical comedy performer. And then I went to social work school. I went to Columbia School of Social Work and got an MSW in social work. And, you know, then I got into politics, and my show is Current Events in Politics. But why I wrote the book Fat Flash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin is that it is a memoir. It's a kind of an unusual memoir because it takes place from my earliest years up until about my mid-30s, and I'm, a little older than that now. I kind of used myself as a guinea pig, if you will, to talk about my experiences in child beauty pageants. And this book came out in 2012. By the way, we're doing a second edition of that book to update it just a tad, but it's the story is still the same. So I had a stage mother on steroids. My mother put me on the stage when I was 3 years old and also in child beauty pageants. And this book came out around the time of Toddlers and Tiaras, if people remember that, a kind of an exploitative show reminiscent of the very sad and tragic story of JonBenet Ramsey. But the twist
huge
in my
story,
yeah,
national
story.
Attention to this day on that scenario. And again, the whole world of parental pressure. I have a chapter in my book. I call it the prodigy sports. Even though we might not say childhood pageants are a sport, but they sure a heck are specialization at a very, very early age. Like you said, you had a stage mom on steroids. So go ahead, please continue.
Well, it has a lot to do with, baseball dads and soccer moms, except that child beauty pageants have an added feature, and it's something that we're seeing in the culture in general, just as an aside, and that is the sexualization of children. Children who are paraded around in costumes like Las Vegas showgirls. And you'll have to read my book to understand where my mother fit in, because this was a little bit earlier than what we're seeing or what we did see about 6 or 7
years
ago.
Yeah, you were a trendsetter. You and your mom were trendsetters. Everybody listening understands exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Not that children wearing costumes and whatever, that whole topic of childhood pageants and this sexualization, there's no better word. It truly
And that is the word.
Got that component. And what a child thinks about that is probably another mystery. Can you remember
what
you thought about
it? That's what my book is about. But just to add the twist, the reason people would think, what is fat flash? What is that? Well, my mother, being very, very appearance conscious and obsessed with my diet, unfortunately, misguidedly, put me on a 500-calorie-a-day diet when I was 7. And she put me on extremely rigid diets because literally she was living through me. The foreword of my book is written by my dear friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright, who coined the phrase princess by proxy. So I was like her proxy in her own obsession with weight and appearance, but it was kind of played out on my body. So when this took until maybe my 30s and a lot of therapy to figure out what happened, because I made it my business when my mother restricted my diet, being the feisty, rather precocious kid that I was, I made it my business to defy her in every way I could. My childhood became about stealing food and an angry defiance of my incredibly rigid mother. So when I was 16, I weighed about 285 pounds. And that was my
sticking it,
way
sticking
of
your mom's face. Yeah. You know, I had
was
a guest
my
a
way
month
of...
or two ago. I had a guest a month or two ago, Karen, that talked about Melissa Walden. She's a therapist who deals with eating disorders. And so, again, whether it was the young gymnast whose mother or coach said, you know, we told you to lose, or the young dancer or the figure skater or et cetera, we have in our country still this minute a nightmare with childhood obesity on the other side of it. So it's fascinating how, you know, again, one of the stick it in the face, you weigh 280 pounds. And who knows what you were going through as a as an adolescent in that kind of a situation. And again, the overzealous parent and the overzealous coach, regardless of the sport, is just a I call them Svengali coaches, where they could be so strict and so abusive, and yet it was your own mom. Where did your dad fit in, if at all, in this criteria?
I would love to answer that, and I will. I want to go back, if I could, real quick to something you said about the nightmare of childhood obesity. I just want to take issue a little bit with what you said, because at around the time that I published my book, the previous first lady seemed quite obsessed with not only childhood obesity, but trying to control everyone's diet. And that is in the subtitle of my book, The Food Police. I think that the hysteria around obesity actually creates eating disorders. Now, I'm not saying everyone, because obesity is a complex issue. But in my research, I have found that the overly hyped worry and fear about kids and obesity actually creates the problem, and you create this push-me-pull-ya. That's why I call it fatlash, because it's a backlash against adults and other know-it-alls trying to tell other people how to eat. The only way that a kid is going to learn how to control or manage their own weight and body and eating and all of that is to take ownership of it, not to have somebody take that ownership away. So
that's true. Although the good advice, now we'll switch to your show, spouting off. Good advice. Good advice that has to do with proper nutrition. Good advice that has to do with keep moving and being physically active is good advice any way you slice it. There is a component, and I hear you, about the idea of, you know, trying to over-control or over-hype, you know, and God bless America, we're real good at that when it comes to trying to be know-it-all, especially in a culture also that allows constant advertising of medicines and prescription medicines on television. We're only one or two countries in the world. So I've been talking about childhood obesity probably 25 years on the Sports Doctor, give or take a few weeks back into your world. And I think you have a very, very big point, that idea. And that's where I that title, the backlash of pressure in whatever shape or form, 500 calories a day as a seven-year-old. Wow. No wonder you were looking for cookies under the table somewhere.
Always stealing food. And let me tell you that my pediatrician was colluding with my mother at the time. And I write about this in my book, that my pediatrician was constantly telling my mother that I was gaining weight too fast. Now, I was never a super, super chubby baby, but I was chubby, and I took after my father more than my mother. And we'll get back to him in a minute if we have time. But my mother was so concerned about her image to other people and my image as well, that when the physician, you know, did all those weight charts, my mother wanted to please him. And every time it was
yeah,
something
that
they didn't know, which was every time he chided her about my weight, my mother would go home and even further restrict my diet, and I would even further steal food. And they couldn't figure out what was going on because they were overly controlling and obsessed.
Yes, the pediatric, right? And the medical community back then didn't know how to spell the word wellness or fitness. So your pediatrician with your mom, you know, he probably had a cigarette in between maybe talking to her and you know, being overzealous in the whole world. We've come a long, long way, baby, yet, as we speak.
We haven't learned about over-control, because let's remember that food is one of the most primitive. Eating and making sure that we stay alive is one
Very
of
emotional.
The most primitive survival needs that we have. And when you are really little and your mom does not appreciate or understand age-appropriate behavior, and she's restricting your diet, a child at the age of 5, 6, 7, whatever, does not understand not only the relationship between what she puts in her mouth and her body size, but why she's being given something different than everyone else. So
website, Karen.
Pardon me?
Give me the, because we're going to come back, talk more about that in the next segment. Give me the website people could find out about the book and well as your show. What's the best website?
My website, and you can see everything that I write, including my book, which you can buy on Amazon, you can either go to fatlash.com, easy, FATLASH.com, or you can go to KarenCataline.com. It'll take you all to the same place.
Okay, we're going to talk more about it, this incredible experience. Karen Cataline, it's a sports doctor. We'll be right back. Near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're having a fascinating conversation with Karen Cataline. She's the host of Spouting Off on BBS Radio, but she's also the author of this fascinating story, the book Fat Flash, Food Police, Fear of Thin. So she's wearing a different hat. I want to go back to talking about, again, this childhood pageants and whatever that you lived through, you experienced. all of these tremendous restrictions that you really, really rebelled against. In today's day and age, is this still as big as it used to be, children's pageants? It seems to be. Is that the case?
Well, I think the age of toddlers and tiaras have kind of passed. That was like a TBS show. But unfortunately, or fortunately, no, unfortunately, there still are child beauty pageants today. They often happen in the South. What is interesting about my story is
Just kidding.
What'd you say?
I said they're in all the red states. Just kidding. Go ahead.
We'll have to save that for another day.
For your show, yes.
What's interesting about my story is that the last beauty pageant I was in, and I wasn't on the circuit. It was a pageant that took place when I was 7, 8, 9. In Colorado. It was called the Colorado Little Miss Pageant. And it was fairly benign, okay? And a lot of people think it's the pageant that created the sexualization. No, it isn't. Pageants attract the kind of mothers like my mother, and not all of them, in which my mother had me shaking my patootie in ways that were inappropriate since I was 3 years old. So it wasn't the pageant. It doesn't take a pageant to sexualize a child. It takes a parent with the lack of boundaries to sexualize a child, and those parents are attracted to beauty pageants. If a parent wants a kid to be a tomboy, she's not going to enter him into a beauty pageant. So it's really a lot more nuanced than people think. When my book came out, I did a whole bunch of talk radio, and I got a lot of attention from Australia and New Zealand, who were just up in arms, appalled, and rightfully so, about Toddlers and Tiaras, the show that they were getting imported from America, and they were appalled. But they wanted, just like France, they wanted to outlaw those pageants. I'm not a big proponent of that, because I think when the government comes in and tries to control the way parents parent,
yeah, you start getting into censorship concerns and, you know, all of those kinds of real points. The physical side, so you were half starved. Did your mom push you also when it came to, quote unquote, being in shape, working out, getting
oddly
you,
enough, no. Oddly enough, no. No, I didn't really luck out. My mother was very ill when I was very small, and she was lonely, and she actually had me stay by her bedside and keep her company. So I was dying to get out and be a little kid. But I, unfortunately, and I don't tell this story because, oh, poor me. I consider it the hand that I was dealt that I needed to do therapy about, which I did, and I was much better for it. But in fact, I really did not get very much exercise, and I wasn't really allowed to be a little girl. There's a picture in the book of me wearing black patent leather shoes, a red plaid jumper, and a white Peter Pan crisp collar, and that's how she sent me to day camp. Okay.
Right. I bet
so I wasn't
right
really
in.
Allowed to get dirty, to play like a kid, and to just, you know, have fun. But I really, really wanted to. I just really didn't understand. When you are the narcissistic extension of your parent, you're basically the rules change based on their whim. Part of the message of my book is that if you want a healthy kid who hopefully does not have an eating disorder or weight problem, you need to foster in them their own personal choice, not force, but choice. It's fine to educate kids about nutrition, but we have to have a boundary between us manipulating and doing for them and allowing them to nourish themselves in the best way. And that was part of the message of my book. And the same is true of parents who live through their children. A lot of parents who put their kids in beauty pageants were in beauty pageants themselves. There is a picture in my book of me doing the splits in a frilly sequined costume when I was about 6 or 7. And there's a picture of my mother circa 1931 in a frilly costume doing the splits. Why? Because the same sort of thing was done to her. So you're beginning to see the picture now, right?
The big part of the, of the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is the absolute, the analogies of what you're talking about. The parent who's living through their young athlete, putting unrealistic pressures on them in so many different ways. The overzealous sideline little league parent that we're all so familiar with. The ranting, raving parents pushing these kids through injury. That's why one of the chapters in my book is Youth, Sports, and Drugs, where we start to see these 10, 11, 12-year-old kids needing over-the-counter pain medicine to play, to participate, just to stay in the game. So that's what struck me is this tremendous analogy of what you lived through. And the overzealous parent, it wasn't sports, it was the beauty pageant. But there was the same dramatic mental effect. We talk so much again in the book about the mental game, these kinds of burnout and these other kinds of things, where that young boy or girl is just getting pressured. And again, having the young boy or girl have fun, enjoy what they're doing, it's very difficult to get any child to continue to do. Your mom must have been a real Svengali, where she was able to really... How long did you participate in any way, shape, or form, Karen, in beauty pageants? How old were you?
The beauty pageants themselves were really only age 7, 8, 9, but my mother put me on the stage and I performed all over town since I was 3 years old. So I was performing from about the age of 3, you know, tap dancing and singing. And by the way, I don't see anything wrong with kids being on the stage if that's what they want to do.
But it's up to
the parent.
We're just about out of time.
Sure.
We got a little combobulated again. Give us, please, Karen Ketterling, the website that people could find out all about you, the
Thank
book,
you.
Fat Flash, and your radio show.
Yes, the book is called Fat Lash, F-A-T-L-A-S-H, and you can go to either fatlash.com or you can go to karenketterling.com and order my book there, or you can order it at Amazon. And I would love your thoughts and feedback. You can email me there and let me know what you think.
Great. Karen, hold on a quick second. Thanks so much. Everybody, we'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Fox Valley Wellness Center is a highly regarded leader in holistic health, led by Dr. Steve Maress, one of the first Lyme disease literate physicians in the Midwest. His team of integrative medicine practitioners blend the best of conventional and complementary therapies. Dr. Maress is president-elect of the prestigious International Lyme and Associated Disease Society. They specialize in treating the causes of disease, not just the symptoms. Fox Valley Wellness Center also offers hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Located at 180 Knights Way in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, call 920-922-5433. That's 920-922-5433. Hey, the Sports Doctor's In. Dr. Bob here, sports podiatrist. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance, step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, everybody, we are back in rainy Chicago. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. Apologies for us being a touch late. A little bit of difficulties with the phones at the beginning with my first guest. Again, the Sports Doctors In, where we talk about some upcoming shows and guests, and we answer some emails. Fascinating. A couple of guests today, running coach Lori Lasseter, and radio host and author of Fat Flash, start thinking about these parading around on stages at 3-4-year-olds. It's just some crazy stuff. Got some great shows coming up next week. Dan Serino. Dan has a CrossFit facility, and he also has a specialty program for Parkinson's individuals, a boxing program that's been very, very successful. He'll be joining us. And then the famous Forbes Riley, the Jack LaLanne juicer, is a gal who sold more than $2 billion worth of infomercial products. She launched her spin gym on the Sports Doctor 2013. Excited to have Forbes back following week. John Eng, he's the executive director of the National Alliance of Youth Sports. Very exciting organization. And then Wade Floyd, the creator of CoachTube. So that show, we're really going to be talking about some youth sports and coaching shows. But let's jump into some emails. Again, you can email me, drrwile, sportsdoctor at yahoo.com, all spelled out, drrwilsportsdoctor at yahoo. John says, my daughter's 14 years old. She's run cross-country the past 4 or 5 years. She seems to have shin splint concerns every season. What are your thoughts? John, persistent ongoing shin discomfort, almost always is foot-related. Almost always that pronated or maybe even excessively high arch foot, overusing the muscles that slow down the ball of the foot in running, can be overused. Now, shin splints is not a medical term, so you need a diagnosis, John, whether it's tendonitis, the occasional even stress fracture, muscle imbalance, can be all part of the non-medical term shin splints. But most shin discomfort is solved long-term with proper orthotics and strengthening. So often we will combine custom orthotics with physical therapy, high degree of success, not only in getting rid of the shin problem, but preventing it. So see a good sports podiatrist, tune in with a good physical therapist when we're talking about this persistent shin problem. Doris says, what is Morton's neuroma? Is it always a surgical problem? Number one, Doris, it isn't. Morton's neuroma is an inflamed nerve connection in the ball of the foot, most commonly between the second and third toes, that inner space where there's a particular connection of the nerves that run along the top of the ball of the foot, bottom of the ball of the foot. And that particular area, if there's excessive pressure or fusion force under the ball of the foot, we can start to thicken that nerve and it starts getting in the way. When it gets in the way, in between the metatarsals, we can get numbness, shooting pain. Patients will also many times say, you know, I feel like my sock is balling up under the ball of the foot. I feel a clicking sensation. Most neuroma problems, Doris, can be handled conservatively with orthotic control to redistribute weight, stop some of the excessive force on that part of the foot, and many times physical therapy, sometimes cortisone injection. But we used to think years ago that the only permanent relief was minor surgery. We found over the years that's not true. So I tell people, do not sign up for surgery as the first option. Discuss with your podiatrist or doctor what else could be done. Can we do a shoe change? Can we use orthotics? Can we do physical therapy? Sometimes injections. I've had patients who gave them one cortisone injection, and Neuroma didn't bother them for another 5 years. So explore conservative measures. Scott says, what's the difference between over-the-counter arch supports and prescription orthotics? Scott, it's a great question. I make the analogy of glasses. If you want to go to Walgreens and get reading glasses, then you can do that, and sometimes it's quite successful and helpful. If you need prescription lenses, if you need bifocals, you got to see an eye doctor. Over-the-counter arch supports are generic. They're size-oriented. Sometimes a running shoe store can be a little bit more sophisticated. But when we're talking precise angulation and alignment of the foot-ankle joints, that's where the prescription orthotic comes in, and that's the GOLD program. I do like over-the-counter supports, Superfeet, Dr. Scholl's, Spenco, many times for someone to throw in their shoes right away, see what kind of a difference it makes. But usually we're going to see prescription orthotics, whether you're a figure skater, whether we're talking about a boy or girl athlete, whether we're talking about a grandma, we're trying to prevent falls. You can't beat custom orthotics, which are sort of like contact lenses for your eyes, only fit you. Mary says, in your book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, you talk about the two main exercises you think are so important for boys and girls. Yes, I do. I don't care what sport your son or daughter plays. I don't care how serious they are, what their age or level is. Working balance exercise, working on unstable surfaces, I call it instability training. Imagine yourself balancing on a mini tram, standing on tilt boards. We love the BOSU, which creates imbalance, which causes you to strengthen everything, standing on these types of pieces of equipment. And then the second exercise concept is strengthening the feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to strengthen the whole range of motion of the foot ankle. I've never met an athlete with overdeveloped feet and ankles. So whatever your sport, whatever your age, and there is a technique, there is learning involved here. So a good idea is to see a good physical therapist who can show your son or daughter a great home program of stability and balance work, also foot ankle strengthening. It's one of the two key areas when we're interested in the two key questions. Can we reduce injuries and can we enhance performance? Step it too quicker, like I talk about in my commercials. So you definitely want to include that. Terry says, I have a 12-year-old daughter. She's a figure skater. She got bumps on the back of her heels. They bother her. We call it pump bumps, Haglunds. Orthotics are very successful at controlling the rock and roll motion of the back of the heel that rubs on that skate, causes inflammation as the attachment of the Achilles tendon. Have the bootmaker punch out the back of the boot and see a good sports podiatrist who can evaluate your daughter's feet and do something about redistribution. All right, everybody. Hey, another edition of the Sports Doctor next week. Thanks, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents.